I'm reminded of a passage in Acts chapter 8 where Philip was asked to go preach to the Ethiopian nobleman. And he caught up with him. He was riding a chariot. He's reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And the text says that he began at that very same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And I think there's a really good principle there that we ought to follow. We meet people where they are. And we can preach Jesus to people wherever they are in the scripture. We can use that and move them to the Christ. And that's what Philip did from Isaiah 53. And that's what I want to do, that's what I want to do this morning from from Matthew chapter 2. It's at this time of the year there's a lot said about the birth of Jesus. Now, we know the Bible doesn't tell us about the date of Jesus' birth, and we also know that the Bible doesn't tell us to revere any day higher than another with reference to his birth. We are told to commemorate every Lord's Day, the Lord's Supper, that commemorates his death and burial and resurrection. And that's why we're assembled here today, is to do just that. But there are a lot of people thinking about Jesus, thinking about his birth. And in the spirit of trying to reach people where they are and to get across some points that maybe will be helpful to them, I want to talk about the wise men from Matthew chapter 2. There's a lot said about the wise men that, you know, we talked about a little bit in class this morning that isn't necessarily scriptural. You know, there's, of course, the three wise men. We don't know that it was three. There could have been. There may have been. But the Bible just doesn't say. They brought three gifts to Jesus. And then the other thing about it is that they weren't even at the birth of Jesus. I was going to say that I wanted to talk about some events surrounding the birth of Jesus this morning. But really, that doesn't get it because these events didn't surround the birth of Jesus. The wise men were not at the nativity. They were not a part of the manger scene, as you see in all these nativity scenes this time of year. They came later, much later. They came to see Jesus when Jesus was in a house and no longer in a manger. And maybe the passing of 2 years had taken place by the time they eventually arrive to worship Jesus. And so, you know, sometimes we focus on those things, but that's not the focus of this lesson. What I want us to do is to make this point. I see in Matthew 2 that wise men worshiped Jesus. And that should be no different today. You see, I still think wise men worship Jesus. And the reason that we're here today is an expression of the wisdom that you have in acknowledging Jesus to be who he is. And why he is deserving of worship. I'd like for us to look at a few things, a few lessons that we can learn from these wise men in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, and then make some brief points about each one of these lessons. Let's begin and just read the text together, if you will. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Israel with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." He's no longer a baby, he's a young child. or an infant. He's a young child. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So that's the reading of the text from this morning's lesson. And what we see in it is that the wise men were off in the east, and they saw a star, the star of the Messiah, indicating that he had been born. And so they began to make their way to Jerusalem. They go to the king Herod and say, "We've seen the star. Could you tell us where this king is born?" And he's like, "King is born? Oh, what? Yeah." And he calls all the scribes together and says, "Where's this king supposed to have been born?" And they said, "Well, the Old Testament, the prophet Micah said he would be born in Bethlehem." And so he called the wise men to him and said, "Listen, about that king. He's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Go on into Bethlehem and find him. And when you find him, you tell me. Come back and tell me, because I want to go worship him too." And you recall, that's not what his plans were. He wanted to put him to death. He didn't want a rival to his kingship. But as the wise men entered the house where Jesus was then, a young child, they fall down and worship. They give gifts, frankincense, gold, and myrrh. And then they're warned by an angel, don't go back to Herod. And so they went back home another way. Here are the lessons that I want us to pick out from these wise men of old that ought to be true of us today and are true of wise men today. The first lesson is this: these wise men searched and sacrificed to worship Jesus. Do you see, they were from the Orient. They were from the Far East. They had quite a ways to go to get to Jerusalem and in that area. They made a sacrifice of time and effort to travel so far. They sacrificed in terms of a gift that they were to bring, gold, giving away gold, frankincense and myrrh, costly ointments and spices. They put themselves out there. You know, worship is kind of an interesting thing. Whether a person chooses to worship or not has very little to do with convenience. It has a whole lot to do with wisdom. You see, you know, you can go to places like in Tompkinsville, Kentucky, or Cane Ridge. You know, just go to some place that has some old building, some old church structure that's still standing from back when our forefathers used to go to church. Back before lights, back before padded pews, back before air conditioning. And you go in some of those buildings and you're amazed. They would have had candle lights or lanterns. They had, their pews had no back on them for back support. They were just like a log that had been split in two, and you make two pews out of them. You know, it's just a flat seat, and you sit on a hard log. And those services would go for hours sometimes. And people went to worship. If we offered that to people today, how many people would still come? Or would they go somewhere else? You know, if the choice was to work, you see, that's what I'm saying. It's not about convenience. Listen, we have cars. We have air conditioning. We have lights. We have, temperature controls and padded pews and classes for all ages and all these kind of things. People aren't moved by convenience. They're moved by wisdom, because there are still people that won't come even though you provide everything for them. The reason these wise men came to see Jesus is because they knew who he was. He was worthy of their efforts, their sacrifice. And they decided and determined to do that. we today, if we wish to be wise like those wise men were, need to realize that Jesus is worthy of our sacrifice. And he's worthy of our effort, and he's worthy of our search for him. They didn't even know where they were going. They had a general idea, but they didn't know. It was going to require a search on their part. And we need to embrace that and engage in that activity yet today. I remember a lady my dad told me about years ago. She'd come to church, had a long way to go, and this was back in the day when traveling wasn't nearly as convenient, but she was deaf and almost blind. Couldn't hear a thing. But she was there every service when the church met. She was always there. And people would ask her, why do you come? You can't even hear. You don't get anything out of it. There's nothing that you can be uplifted by because you can't hear a single thing. And her response to that was that I want other people to know whose side I'm on. You know, that kind of attitude is an expression of wisdom. She had found the Christ. And whether she could contribute much or little, it wasn't necessarily about her receiving when she came to worship him. She came to give. And that makes all the difference in the world. I've told you this before, but when I was in Michigan as a college student working with the church up there, there was a man that was my assigned task before church. Sundays and Wednesdays, I would go to a man's house and help him get dressed. He had severe rheumatoid arthritis. He couldn't button anything. He couldn't zip anything. He just couldn't dress himself. And so, man, I hated that job as a college student. I dreaded it. And now today, I'm thankful they had me do that as a part of my responsibilities because it taught me some things. But I thought, what makes this man suffer the point? Just getting dressed was painful. What makes him go through all this every week? Because he was wise. He had found the Christ. And he was willing to worship and make sacrifice. And then there are those who are not wise, who have every convenience laid out in front of them, and they find reasons not to worship. I want us to be wise like those men. They recognized that the King of Kings was born, and they searched and they sacrificed to be able to worship him. We who are wise today, we'll do the same thing. Here's a second lesson I learned from these wise men, and it's this, that they worshiped even when others wouldn't. You see, they took initiative to come all that way from the east to Jerusalem and to say, hey, where's this Jesus? Where's this King of Kings that has been born? We're here to worship. No one there had. The scribes and so forth that Herod calls together and says, now tell me about this. Where is he supposed to be born? They knew it was in Bethlehem. They quoted the scripture to them. Had they made their way over there to worship? No. No. So the religious elite, the religious leaders, they hadn't bothered to worship. Herod himself had not bothered to worship and wasn't about to. He wanted to do them harm. But these wise men, when they saw the attitudes maybe of these others, when they realized, well, other people aren't doing this, why are we doing this? You know, we're the ones that are standing out. Nobody else is seeking him out to worship. Why are we doing this? They didn't care what other people were doing. They were on a mission. And what other people decide to do with Jesus is up to them. But what I'm going to do is worship. It reminds me of what Joshua said a long time ago. As for me and my house, now you do what you want, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I feel that I can see that attitude in these wise men. They come and they say, we want to worship the child that has been born. Nobody else is. Well, I don't care. That's what we came to do. And I think the same thing is true today. Wise men still worship him. And they don't care if others don't. That's not going to dissuade us. Don't let other people have impact on how and why and when you worship your God. If others choose not to recognize Him for who He is, then that's their right. They have that choice. But us, let's express our wisdom in not being influenced by the world. Let's do what's right. The King of Kings is worthy of worship. Here's a third thing that I see that is wise out of these wise men, and it's that they actually worshiped. Look at chapter 2 and verse 11. And I know we often use this passage to say, see, the wise men weren't even at the nativity scene. Get rid of the wise men from the nativity scene. They weren't there. And we make the point in verse 11 that when they had come into the house, they saw the young child. See, they were in a house. They weren't at the stable. This is long ago. You remember Herod said, I want to kill all the babies, male babies, 2 years and under. Why all the way out to 2 years? Because that's probably the time frame that we're talking about here to cover the birth of Jesus. And so Jesus isn't, you know, but it's more than just a passage to say, hey, you know, the wise men weren't at the manger. Listen to what they did. They came into the house. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Here's the point I want you to see. These wise men, not only did they come to the house where Jesus was, they actually worshiped once there. Do you see where I'm going with that? You see, all of us got up this morning to come to the house of God, and we came to worship. But there is a distinct possibility that having put on our Sunday go to meeting clothes and gotten ourselves together and endured the mad rush this morning and dressed a little warmer because we were afraid it was going to be cold and it feels quite comfortable. We get here and then our mind wanders. We're thinking about everything else. The affairs of life, you know, the person sitting next to me, that girl's cute. That boy, boy, he's handsome. Or wish they'd do something with that baby. What's going on? You know, and we got all these thoughts competing for our attention. We've come to the house, but we haven't worshiped once we got here. These wise men were wise because not only did they come to the house where the Christ child was, they actually fell down and worshiped. They accomplished what they came for. And that shows wisdom. And wise men today will do the same thing. Not only will they come to the house and check off a list, check, I made it to church, but they'll worship while they're here. Cornelius in the New Testament in Acts chapter 10, made a very insightful statement. When Peter was called together to preach to them, he was a Gentile. He had not yet heard about the Christ. And this is going to be when the doors of the kingdom were open to the Gentiles. And so they're all present. And Cornelius says to Peter, here we are. We're all present before God. So speak to us. Cornelius wasn't the audience. He had a man called to his house to preach to him. And he didn't say, you know, that's one of the things I have tried not to do through the years. If you'll notice, I try never to talk about, boy, what a fine audience we have today. I'll never say that. And if I do, you can correct me. Because you're not the audience. We have a fine audience every Lord's Day, but it's not you all. God's the audience. And we're the participants. Everyone sitting in the pew is a participant in the worship. And if we get to thinking that you all are sitting back critiquing the worship that I'm doing, we've forgotten there's someone looking over our shoulders at us and critiquing how we are worshiping. We have come together to worship. We've come to the house. Now let's worship. Now that we're here, wise men still do that. And then let me give you the fourth and final point. These wise men obeyed a higher authority. You remember what Herod commissioned them? He said, listen, when you find that king, that child, you come back and tell me where he is because I want to come and worship him too. Those were the commands given to him by the king. But in the meantime, they found that child, and before they could go back to Herod, they were divinely warned, don't do it. Who did they listen to? You have a king. You have civil authority who has commanded that you do something. But then you have divine authority saying, don't. Who are you going to listen to? Well, that same question is, and they showed and demonstrated their wisdom by following what the Lord said, what the divine commandment was given. And today, you know, back in the days of Acts 5, they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore, and they said, well, is it better to obey God or man? Which should I do? Obviously, the answer to that is you obey God. And when man disagrees with God, we don't follow man. We may suffer for it, but we follow God. These men could have been seen as fugitives from justice. They might have looked over their shoulder a few times as they were trying to get back home to see if anybody was after them because they hadn't done what the authorities had told them to do, but they had obeyed divine law. And we need to concern ourselves more with what God's will is than what civil authorities have to say. Now, am I saying we need to be rebels, rebellious? Well, no. The powers that are ordained by God. We're to follow them, but when there is a conflict between what they say and what God says, respect the higher authority. That's what these wise men did, and that's what wise men do still today. So those are your four points this morning, and I hope that they maybe help us to see how that we can, even like they just be wise. All the wise men didn't go out of fashion in the first century. There's still a lot of wise men today. They are those who make great sacrifice and search in order to worship Jesus. They are those who they don't care who doesn't worship Jesus. They're not moved by what other people do. They have a mission in mind to worship. And when they come to worship, they actually not only come to the house, but they actually worship once they get there. And they live with a purpose of obeying higher authority than man's authority. There's a lot of speculation about the wise men. Who were they? Where did they come from? What nation were they from? More information about the star. And, you know, we just don't know a lot about their background. Not much is said. But we don't need it. It doesn't matter. What information we do have helps us to see their pursuit of worship and their pursuit of Christ. And again, it's not all that different today. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter. I don't need to know the details. All that matters is that you have come to seek and to worship the Christ. And that's what matters to God. Not your past, but what are you doing right now and what do you plan to do in the future? And so you may have a past that you wouldn't want to share. You'd be just as glad that nobody does know where you come from. That's all right. The question is, what are you going to do with your future? What are you going to do with your present? If you're here this morning and you're not yet a child of God, I'll tell you what those wise men would have done. Being wise and knowing what I know about them, they would have done whatever the Lord told them to do. They obeyed that divine warning, did they not? Even when men said don't, they went ahead and violated what man said to follow what God said. What about you? You'll hear people say, you don't have to be baptized. Come on. I mean, God's not going to... Getting wed is not going to make the difference between you going to heaven and hell. Come on. You're going to hear things like that. And then you're going to hear divine authority say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Who are you going to follow? You're going to listen to man or you're going to listen to God? If you're wise, you'll listen to God. If you need to be baptized into Christ this morning to put him on in baptism, become a member of his family, an heir of heaven, I hope that you'll do that. And if you're a child of God already but unfaithful, maybe you've made some unwise decisions in your life and you're not proud of that and you want forgiveness, we'll pray for you if you'll come as we stand together and sing.